That getting up still isn't a lot of fun. I guess it's getting more fun. So I don't know about that either. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Last week I was in blue jeans, and that was because I remembered to go to Goodwill and get jeans that fit immediately following when I got out of the clink. I went to get jeans that fit. I didn't get pants though. Why would I? Why would I? The thing I need to probably wear the most. Why would I go get those? But I didn't. So I remembered yesterday that, I need to go do that. And so we went to Goodwill. Oh, can I get that turned down just a little bit? We went to Goodwill, and there was yellow tape across it, and it said closed for storm damage. Isn't that why we go to Goodwill? Because it's probably storm damaged, and I really think somebody just wanted the week off. So then we went to Walmart, and I got that. And all Walmart had for shirts, as far as dress shirts goes, was white, short sleeve, mediums, and 2X. And so I kind of felt like if I bought a short-sleeved white button-up shirt, I should probably, my ministry should be on a bicycle. And I wasn't ready to be a Mormon just yet. So this is the outfit I came up with, and I shouldn't call it an outfit. I know better than that, but that's what it is. I'm glad to see everybody out, and I hope you plan on staying and eating following services. Last week, we started a series called Exiles, in which we're talking about the fact that when we became Christians, if you are a Christian, that when you were baptized into Jesus, as Jesus says, you were born again, that you were born of the water and the Spirit, that you became part of a new creation, a new humanity. You are no longer the descendants of Adam. We are now descendants of Christ. We are part of Christ's family, and as such, we have a new citizenship, a citizenship that is in heaven, and that means that makes us living here on earth as exiles, as sojourners, as aliens, as foreigners, as immigrants. We have taken up residence among a people that are not our own, that we live as strangers in a land, and so the question is how should we do that? How do we live as exiles in this world, and what does that look like? And I'll tell you, I think if you ask the younger part of the crowd what their fears are, I think a lot of them would fear that the church is too disconnected from the world around us. That far too often we have isolated ourselves, that we have not gotten involved, that we have not gotten to know and not helped and talked to and tell the world around us about Jesus, that we have became too disconnected from the world. But I think if you ask others, they might say the opposite. They might say that they're afraid that we've became too connected to the world, that we've became too much like the world, that we have assimilated to this world, that we have compromised our morals and our convictions and our standards, that we really look just like everyone around us. And I think that there is validity to both of those fears. I think the Bible, both the New and the Old Testament, can teach us how to live as exiles. And we talked last week that the goal is to be faithful, that it is not to be assimilated to this world where we talk and act just like everyone else, nor is it to isolate ourselves where we hide and we just wait for Jesus to come back and where we say your problems are your problems out in the world, but we're just going to keep our heads down and hide and build hedges around our Christian community, that we're not going to let anyone in or influence us, and we're going to just hide from the rest of the world. I don't think it's either of those things. We have got to be faithful in our conduct and faithful to our calling. And we looked at some of the examples in the Old Testament of how the Jews were living as exiles in Babylon. How people like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they were faithful in their conduct, but also how they were told by people like Jeremiah to seek the welfare of the city in which they were exiled. They were supposed to make Babylon a better place and to live out their calling as God's people. So what does that look like? What are we supposed to be doing as living as exiles in this world? How do you be faithful in your conduct and to our calling? Well, we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. It's just a few verses, but really we're going to be here for a few more weeks. And we're talking about four principles from these verses that will teach us how to live as exiles in this world. Last week, the first principle we talked about was remember who you are. Do you remember who you are? I told you that there was going to be a quiz. We've already read it, so who are we? Peter tells us that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a people for God's own possession. We belong to God. We are His people. And if we're going to live as exiles in this world, we have to remember who we are. We have to remember that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. And then, two, the second principle we're going to talk about is that we have to proclaim His excellencies. Well, what does that mean and what does that look like? Let's just look at the text and we'll dig into that phrase. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12, we've already read it a few times. That's how I learn the best, the repetition. I read things over and over and I try to learn from it and then I try to apply it. Peter says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when you speak against you as evildoers, that you may see the good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." We're going to look at a couple of those verses in the weeks to come. Today, though, I want us to think about that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that first word there is very important, just that little word, that. It's important because it shows purpose. Peter says, listen, this is who you are as believers in Jesus. This used to apply to just the Jews as descendants of Abraham, but now for all of those in Christ Jesus, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that, or so that. Or in order to. It's sort of like as you get your job description. First you find out your job title, then you get your job description. If you get a new job, they say this is your job title, and then they say now that you have that title, you know what your that your job description is coming. You need to pay attention because this is what you're going to be doing. We have been given this identity in Christ. Our identity in Jesus isn't achieved, it's received. And we receive it by God's grace. By God's grace, we have been made a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that, and it's not so that we can isolate ourselves, and it's not so that we can assimilate into the world around us. That's not what Peter says. The text reads, so that, or that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And think about that word proclaim, that we are to proclaim. The word proclaim means that we are to publish. It means to declare. It means to make known. Some commentators and translations use the word advertise. You have been given this identity so that you can be a proclaimer, a declarer, an advertiser. Companies spend millions of dollars on advertising every year, but all of them know that the very best advertising is a satisfied customer. When you have a good experience at some business or some restaurant, you enjoy something, what are you going to do about it? Oh, you're going to tell somebody. You may even take a picture of it and post it on your social media outlet of choice. But you're going to tell everybody you know about it, because when you're satisfied, that's what you do. That we may proclaim the excellencies of Him, so that if we are supposed to be declaring or publishing or advertising the excellencies of God, it is to be to tell people how excellent God is, both in His characteristics, who He is, and His deeds, what He has done. That's why we have been made God's people. Not just so, again, that we can wait around until Jesus comes, which we haven't been made God's people so that we can act like the world either, how we used to act. We have been made God's people so that we can go into the world and declare. We can publish, we can advertise who God is and how excellent He is, and all the wonderful things that God has done through Christ Jesus to reconcile people to Himself. Now, just think about this for a minute. I am no longer allowed to eat enjoyable foods. But I'm sort of a sadist, and so I like to look up those foods. And the Cheesecake Factory has a chocolate chip cookie dough cheesecake. And to me, those are all words that are beautifully put together in that order. And it makes me sad, that makes me hungry just thinking about it. But think about it, if you find a good piece of cheesecake or a good restaurant, and you have a good experience at some business, you're going to talk about that. But somebody offers you or gives you eternal life, forgives you of your sins by His grace, dies for you, and that's what you get, right? Crickets. We don't say anything. We say that piece of cheesecake changed my life, and we tell everybody we know about it, but our friends and our family who don't know Jesus, and we're not really talking to them about how great God is. Our co-workers, our neighbors, those good people that we love, they're wonderful, they're so sweet and kind, but they don't know the Lord, and we're missing opportunities to tell them about the excellencies of God. Why? And we're all guilty of this, aren't we? We've all missed opportunities to share the truth about God, about how excellent He is and the excellent things He does, what He has done through Jesus for us. And why is that? Are we embarrassed? Do we know that that's the one thing that makes us stick out as an exile? That's the one thing that makes us a stranger? And some people might say that guy's pretty weird, because some people might go to church and they may be nominally Christian in some sense of the word, but they aren't really eating and breathing and living what we're talking about here, are they? If you show up to work tomorrow and someone asks how you're doing and you start to explain how God has blessed you, and sometimes they roll their eyes. They say, not another one of these kind of people. And that's embarrassing, isn't it? To stand out. But what will it take to get over that embarrassment so that we can do what we know we need to do? To say, listen, I know this might sound strange, and I know most people don't talk like this. I know that this world is secular and it's diverse, and you're not supposed to say that Jesus is the way to God. I know all that, but I have to tell you what I know is the truth. I have to tell you about my God. I have to tell you who He is and what He's done for me and how excellent He is. What would get us to that point? I think there has been times in my life where people have tried to guilt me into being evangelistic. Probably the same can be said about you. They kind of twist your arm and say, you need to be talking to this person or that person, but you can't do that. That's not the way you get people to talk about something that is exciting to them, by trying to guilt them into it. You don't go to a restaurant and tell the owner, well, that was a really good meal. I'm going to tell all my friends about it. And he says, yeah, you better, because if you don't, I'm going to hunt you down. No, you don't do that. You can't force people. That's just not the way it works. Paul in Ephesians says that the proper response to grace is gratitude. You know, in part he says, always give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. that you respond when someone in their riches reaches down and does for you what you couldn't possibly do for yourself, and then you respond to them in gratitude. And gratitude looks a whole lot like loyalty. It means making that person's name known. You declare it to everybody you know what a wonderful person they are. This is what this person did for me. That's what you're supposed to do. In that first century culture, they understood that. For some reason, we don't tend to appreciate the fact that when God gives you grace, when God saves you, when He redeems you, when He shows you mercy, you were not a people, but now you are God's people. We don't respond necessarily to that grace and gratitude, but we should. We need to make His name known. We need to make Him famous. We publish, we declare, we tell the world who our God is and what our God has done. Grace is what motivates us to be evangelistic. And we need to realize that our primary responsibility, that's what we are in the business of. The church has a lot of good things to do, and we'll talk about that more in the weeks to come, but the church's primary responsibility is the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. This is who God is, and this is what He's done, and we go and we tell the world. Now listen, you don't have to convert one person. You don't have to make them become Christians, because guess what? You can't do that. You can't change someone's minds on things, but you can tell them how good our God is. You can tell them what our God has done. You can proclaim His excellencies. Let's look at that next part. You may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel is a calling. It's an invitation. It says, would you like to leave where you are, and would you like to come into what I have to offer you? Would you like to leave the darkness and come into the light? And maybe some of us need to understand that that's the truth for everyone outside of Jesus Christ, that they are in darkness. And I know we live in a time where you're not really supposed to say that anymore. You can't say to people who aren't Christians that you're in the darkness. But that's what the gospel says. That's what you were before you were in Christ Jesus. You were in the darkness. Paul in Ephesians 2 says that you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We have to understand that our neighbor who is kind and wonderful and that we love them, and our co-workers and our family members who are sweet but are not in Jesus, they're in the darkness. I read on a Church of Christ message board of a young person who wanted to talk about people who were participating in the gospel who may be atheists or unbelievers. And think about that, participating in the gospel even though they are unbelievers. And I thought, I need that person to define those terms. What does the gospel mean? How do you participate in the gospel if you don't believe? And his response was that he believed that the gospel was doing good works. It was seeking justice for people. It was doing good things. It was being benevolent. It was being generous and charitable. And listen, you cannot separate Christianity and the gospel of Jesus Christ from doing good in this world. And again, we're going to talk about that as we go forward. But the gospel is the good news of Jesus' kingship and His atoning sacrifice for mankind. And if you don't accept who Jesus is and the death, burial, and resurrection, you can't and you're not participating in the gospel. And we have to understand that. There are lost people in our world. And if we are going to accept the gospel, then we are accepting that Jesus is right. That Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes to the Father except through Him. Other people probably need to recognize that just because there are lost people in this world and there are people that live in darkness in this world, doesn't mean you should isolate yourselves from them. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't form friendships with them, because you do need to get to know them. You need to love them. You need to seek their welfare. You need to proclaim to them the excellencies of Him who called you out of the darkness and into His marvelous light. You don't deserve the light. I sure don't deserve the light. We deserve the darkness. We deserve to still be dead. But by that gospel, He called us out of that. And I desperately want those who haven't heard the gospel invitation to hear it. Because that, as Christians, is what we are created to do. That is why Jesus created a new humanity. Not just so that we can do good deeds, and not just so we can isolate ourselves. He made us to go out into the world and proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So the question is are you a Christian? And if so, then somebody told you about the excellencies of God and how excellent God was to them. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was your spouse. Maybe it was a neighbor or a preacher. Whoever it was, as Christians, somebody told you how excellent God was. Some of you may not remember a time when you didn't know how excellent God was. But some of you do remember a time where you didn't know that, where you didn't know about Jesus and His saving blood, but someone then proclaimed it to you. They declared to you, they advertised to you who God is, and God saves sinners like me. I can say that God changed my life, and I know that He can change your life as well. And aren't you thankful for that? Thankful not only that Jesus did that, but that someone told you what Jesus did. And if you're grateful, you tell somebody. You proclaim to someone else the excellencies of Him who called you out of the darkness and into His marvelous light. That's what we're supposed to be. And that's why, really, I said yes to this position. Maybe the popular opinion or idea is to make somebody proud, but really the honest truth is, as you watch somebody do what they do your entire life, and you realize that's what you're supposed to be doing. You and I know how this works as Christians. You and I know the truth. We have got to be a people, individually and collectively, who go and proclaim to other people the excellencies of Him who called us out of this darkness and into His marvelous light. We have got to be a people who go about the business of proclamation. And it's intimidating to think about being evangelistic, about spreading the good news. But that's what it is, right? It's good news. When you hear good news and it changes your life, you want to spread that around. So let's be grateful recipients. Let's be grateful that we have heard the message that God saves sinners and that we accepted it. That we were clothed with Jesus in baptism and that we came out of the darkness and into His marvelous light. And then let's share that story with somebody else. And maybe that first step is just telling them that God is good, and then helping them to see how good God is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning someone here needs to come out of that darkness and into the marvelous light. And we want to be able to help you. Whether you're a Christian who's stumbled and you need the prayers of the congregation, or maybe you do need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Now would be the opportune time to come as together we stand and we sing.